This is the Brant and Sherry Podcast.
So we have awesome music here, but other shows don't have this. Other shows have awesome music.
Mm-hmm.
We have awesome music, and then we have this. We're at a camp, not a campfire, we're at a fireplace. It's very Christmassy in here.
That's
and
what
you
this
can
is
hear the fire. And it makes it's you feel warm, and it makes you feel like homey, and it makes you...
What is this?
It's like now I'm at a fireside chat. I'm sitting here next to the fire.
Well, I tell you what, this fire sounds like it's a little out of control, like we should be running.
It does sound like a big
water
fire.
Or something.
It is a big fire. It makes you feel homey that we're at this fire. And before the authorities arrive, I just want to say Merry Christmas to you. And that's why we feel so warm right now.
Oh my goodness.
I think it adds a certain something. All right, you didn't like my sound effect thing. I think it sounds Christmassy.
No, this that does not sound Christmassy.
It sounds like we're gathered around a fire. There's a dog by the fire. I'm here with an ascot and a cool jacket. It's very C.S. Lewis.
I'm not getting that picture. I'm getting a picture of someone running and calling 911.
No. Okay. No, and then what if, how about if I add that? Little festive. It feels so homey. A holiday-y. Doesn't it fill your heart with warmth?
Well, yes, warmth is run! Run now!
Run away from Christmas. No. That's all. Well, it's the best I have for right now. So
okay.
I think we'll just have to make it work. And
all right.
Hand me the hot tea.
Everything in here is hot from that fire.
That's a good point. The mugs are melting. So whenever you talk about Jesus, for a lot of people, it brings to mind like this cartoon version that they're aware of, that pop culture makes fun of. But there's a real Jesus that is so compelling. And if you read in the Gospels, one thing he does not do, I've noticed this just by reading this, he doesn't say, good people over here, bad people over there. He doesn't draw this dividing line between good people and bad people. Never does. That's our pop culture that does that. That's us. We tend to do that, whether people are believers or not, they tend to do that. Good people here, bad people there. He never does that. What he does, though, draws a line between the proud and the humble. That's very consistent. It's the proud and the humble, not the good versus the bad. Question is, am I proud or am I humble? And you can be proud and very religious, very good, quote unquote, but still proud. And Jesus blows that to smithereens. He sees right through it. Question is, am I humble? We were talking about being proud and being humble and stuff like that, and how Jesus looks at that sort of thing. Here's the problem with being good. If you're like, well, it's the good people here and the bad people over there. Very difficult to tell the two apart, because a lot of times you can do good things, but it's for the wrong reasons.
That's true.
It can be to impress other people. I mean, you don't have to be a believer to do good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It can be to feel better about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're told a lot of the times. Do this and the feeling will be incredible. Like, well, then who is it for?
Is it for me or for someone else?
Yeah. So the real Jesus, not the cartoon version, but the real one, just kind of smashes that whole idea that, outwardly you're good.
Mm-hmm.
He says, no, I can tell outwardly, yeah, you look great. Inwardly, you're a mess.
That's why all the religious people couldn't stand him back then. Because
exactly.
They were amongst people and they were making everyone think that they were so higher than everyone else because they knew all the laws. They did all the good things. And Jesus came in and said, no, but I see your heart. I see inside of you, and he blasted them.
And you can see why it cuts both ways, because people who are humble and realize that they're a mess, they love hearing that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh my goodness, and you are here to clean me.
Yeah.
I mean, it's good news for the humble, and it's bad news for the proud. So there's a question here from a young man who would like some input on smoothness from me.
Oh boy. So Andrew says, hello there. I am a young 32-year-old male Christian. I admire your smoothness, Brant.
Huh.
Mm. Interesting. And he wants to know how to approach a young lady and ask her out. Should he ask questions before? Like, what are they interested in? What do they like to do? Should he kind of cover that first before he asks them out on the date?
Oh, I understand. And, as someone who has dated one woman his entire life.
To whom you are married.
To whom I am married. Because I didn't have the nerve to ever talk to anybody.
Okay.
Yeah, I can help you on this. Here's the thing. What I would recommend, do ask them about their interests.
Before asking them out.
Absolutely.
Okay.
In fact, what I would say is I would go up to them with a clipboard
what?
In hand. Yes, I would.
What?
And I would say, Dear, and then insert her name there.
Okay.
Matilda, whatever her name is. Well, we'll say, dear right. Matilda, on dear a scale of 1 to 5, rate your interest in the following areas. So then you propose areas. The Hobbit. And then she ranks it 1 to 5.
What?
Then you say, okay, now Lord of the Rings trilogy. She ranks it 1 to 5. The Great Divorce by C.S. Lewis. She ranks it. Libraries. She ranks it. Maps. How do you feel about maps? 1 to 5.
This is not.
And then what you do, Andrew, thanks for asking, you go home and you tabulate the results and you get out like an Excel spreadsheet and what? You spend time tabulating and make charts.
This is.
At home all weekend. And then you'll have various graphs to tabulate the data. So I hope that helps.
This poor young man's not going to get a date.
You're welcome, sir. My daughter is 18 years old and really proud of her. But she's dealt with the last few years being really anxious about this recurring thing that she'll lose someone close to her that she loves, like me or her mom or her brother. Some accident will happen. And she's been just racked with fear about it. She read the Tales of Narnia or the Chronicles of Narnia. And in one of the stories... It's so good. Maybe you've heard this a little bit before, but in one of the stories, I think it's Lucy is talking about Aslan, who's the Jesus figure. And she asks, is he safe? And Mr. Beaver says, safe? Nobody said anything about safe. But he's good, I'll tell you. No, he's not safe. And she applied that to her own life. Like, you know what? There is no guarantee. And think about this for yourself. Like, there is no guarantee that something might not happen to you. Like, God's going to make sure nothing ever happens to you. You'll never lose a loved one. We've seen things happen that are tragic to people who are people that seem to be after God's own heart. There's no guarantee. He never offers a guarantee. He says we're going to have troubles. But she said, you know what? Okay, it's not safe. I never signed up for safe. But he's good. He's good. He's got the big picture. And that's all I really need to know. Oh man, I hate it, hate it, hate it, hate it, hate kids growing up, hate my daughter growing up, hate my son growing up, hate it.
Why? They're beautiful
because
young adults
they're
now.
Trying to leave me. That is what they're trying to do.
They're not trying to leave you.
They have had that in mind since the day they were born. I've seen it.
And they're finally executing it.
They are just, they endear themselves to you, mm-hmm. and then they leave.
I don't think it's that bad. It's like
crippling.
That.
It's horrible. But mm-hmm. I have realized this, the alternative is not good. Like, mm-hmm. I want them to be independent.
Right.
My daughter left for New York City this morning mm-hmm. by herself.
Yeah.
She's going to apply for a scholarship. She has to compete for this scholarship at a college in Manhattan.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea of, like, she's going to New York by herself. My daughter. I can't believe this.
But she's what? She's 18 now.
18.
Very smart girl. Great head on her shoulders.
Extremely proud.
Yeah.
I just hate the whole thing.
Are you tearing up?
No.
Okay. Your eyes look a little
glassy.
My
contact lenses are... an irritant, a constant irritant whenever I talk about my kids. They just stupid contact lenses. This is an opportunity for you to have your Christmas conflicts worked out. I'll solve them. You just tell me what the problem is.
No matter what it is.
Whatever it is, Christmas related. A lot of times there's conflict. I'll settle it.
And what credentials do you have to be solving these problems for people?
Anyway, the phone number is 855-90-BRANT. And then you just tell me what your problem is, and then I'll lickety-split, bam.
Okay.
Yep. I've seen how this works on shows and stuff where they solve everything.
Solve stuff, yeah.
Yeah, real quick. So, you, Jenny, you have some kind of issue or conflict, Christmas-related?
I was asking my kids about this earlier, and they said it's because we usually go visit our family in another town for holidays, and it's everybody's like, no, we want you to stay with us. No, we want you to stay with us. And we are like, hate to hurt people's feelings
right.
and stuff, and we want to always, you know, spend time with everybody and try to make it to everybody's house, but it's like a marathon for us to get everywhere and try to make sure we spend the same amount of time with all the different family members
yep.
and stuff. So
yep.
All right, that's our issue.
Okay, Brant, do you have a
I have fixed
suggestion?
That. I fixed that in my own personal
life. You have words
life.
Of advice for me?
Here we go.
Just stop going. Really?
So go nowhere?
You just stop. No, huh? You stay home, and you're like, if you guys want to see us, you are welcome, but we're not doing that again.
Yeah, that's not going to cause any more conflict.
Yep.
Jenny, what's your conflict there?
Christmas lights on the outside of the house.
What's the conflict?
My husband puts them up. Uh-huh. Well, he puts them up and doesn't care if they're straight, even, whatever, they're just up.
He just throws them up?
I'm don't want them up there, right. They need to be even.
Okay, that's the conflict, is that you want everything to be just so.
You don't want to be that person on the block.
What's his first name?
Brian.
Brian. So you don't want to be Brian and Jenny Sloppy Lights.
Exactly.
I'm going to go ahead and weigh in on this, my own opinion.
Oh, great.
I think you let him do it. If he's the guy that's doing it, let him do it with his own style. The first Christmas was not all, everything wasn't even. I don't think you could think that the manger was all square or anything. I mean, it was a mess. So this is, maybe that's his homage to Christmas.
Brant, okay.
No, I don't think so.
No, me either, Jenny.
Okay, well.
The last house that we lived in had the peak roof over the garage, but it had the flat side of the roof over the rest of the house. And he would only put the lights over that flat part because he didn't want to have to climb the ladder high enough to put it over the garage. But we had a 3-car garage, so half the house, half the front of the house was the garage.
Yeah.
That's not it.
And it just looked bad.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't think there's any law stopping you, Jenny, from getting out there with a ladder and putting it on the garage. Kind of a fun thing that we do.
Yeah, we've done it for a couple days now, and I was interested in your method of solving these conflicts.
Quickly.
Yes, yeah. I was, yeah. And it's because you said you don't fully listen
to
what the person is
saying. No, that is the key.
Okay.
That is key. Don't, like, that way I can have a rapid answer before the thing is even out.
But what if you're missing something that they're saying?
The point is that people like it. I've seen psychologists on shows and listen to other radio shows where they like do advice stuff, and it's like, bam, they got an answer. So,
well, I think their answer is after listening to the person fully, and I think because they have some training in it, they're able to do that.
I've already tuned whatever you're saying out. So that's the ability that I have, and then I'll just weigh in with my opinion and then act like it's... Throw in your 2 cents and act like it's a dollar. That's what I heard.
Is it?
That's
okay.
How you do that.
If you're interested in that type of conflict resolution, 855 90 Brant.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't even have to leave a full message because I'll be out in like 10 seconds. This may sound crazy, but obviously that hasn't stopped us before. And don't you feel like the holidays, Christmas in particular, a whole lot of control issues going on?
Mm-hmm.
Like trying to control other people. That's where the expectations come from. Like, okay, you do this, you behave that way, you be this, I'll be that.
That's where all the disappointment comes in, because I want to control everyone and I can't.
And then it's not what you expected.
Right.
Like,
yep.
This was supposed to be heartwarming. You were supposed to do this at just the right time. And
yeah.
Then you were supposed to get the kids and do that. Or, you know, your grandma, you're supposed to be this way.
Mm-hmm.
And
we
have all these, like, roles that everybody's supposed to play.
Mm-hmm.
One idea, just throwing this out there. Stop trying to control people.
Yeah.
Or just knock it off.
Mm-hmm. Quit it right now.
They're more quick advice for people. But really, I do think that that's a big thing. I've just learned this with myself. I have expectations and I don't even speak them. Expect other people to perform in a certain way. And if they don't, I'm upset and I can't pinpoint why. I mean, it makes for a much more relaxed time with people when you kind of drop that. Oh, I have something here that you might like. You probably won't.
Okay.
The knock knock joke related to what we were just talking about.
Oh boy. All right.
Knock knock.
Who's there?
Control freak.
Control
freak. Now you
freak.
Say control freak who?
that's
funny,
good.
Huh?
Yeah, that's hysterical.
Exactly. You legitimately laugh.
Yeah.
I feel really good about myself right now. Thank you. That was legit.
I've heard a lot of jokes on this show, but that's actually pretty good.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. So what's the issue? You have a little party problem?
Yeah, when I have people over for the holidays, which I don't often, and it's because I never know when the party, how to indicate to people that it's over.
Can't get them out.
Yeah, right. That's one way to say it.
Yeah.
So when I go to other people's homes for things, it's easy because I pick my keys up in person, I leave.
Right.
But in my home, how do I say, okay, this has gone on for like 3 hours here.
They don't pick up on any subtle things like you're starting
to
sweep.
No, my family's not good at, not good at subtleties. So.
Okay.
I can do a lot of different things. I don't know how to do it in a nice way.
I got an idea.
Do you now?
I do.
Okay.
I think this can work.
Okay.
I'm going to try. Well, you need a song to put in your playlist that chases everybody out the door. Like, you've got music going on and a song that says it for you. So it's not you.
Okay.
It's the song says it.
It just happens to be the next song coming up on my iPod playlist.
So we'll just write, a Christmas song.
Oh, this is nice.
That you can use. And then, like, I'll sing it. I'll be the bad cop.
Okay.
But then you just, well, it just came up.
Huh. I don't feel this way. It's just the music.
It's just the music, but... So, yeah, we'll try it next. We'll see how it goes. So hang on. Let me try this. I was thinking like a crooner type.
Okay.
Bing Crosby type.
And
thing.
This is you writing this.
Yeah, answer. I just wrote down the lyrics. And then I'll try to sing it and we'll see how this goes. But a little something like this, kind of heartwarming.
Mm-hmm.
Christmassy. Feels like the holidays because there's bells
nice.
In it.
Yeah.
Here we go. The lights turned off on my Christmas tree. We've wrapped up our party. We already ate. Now it's just late. But yet you linger here.
That's good.
I see you looking in my fridge. After eating all my chips. Seriously, if you really love me, you'll start doing as I say. Get out, or I'll call the cops this Christmas. I'm not kidding. I'll really do it. I'll really call the cops.
Oh, wow.
Don't think for a second that I'm bluffing.
Yeah.
God bless, but get your stuff on out of here. Christmas doesn't mean you get to stay forever and eat for free. And since you didn't notice when I up and started cleaning, instead you started playing with my PS3. Here's a spoken word thing here. It's powerful.
Okay,
I'm gonna start
okay,
doing
go
it.
Ahead, yeah.
Christmas. Just the word takes us back to that original beautiful story when there was no room at the inn.
Mm-hmm.
The guests were not welcome. What must have that felt like?
Mm-hmm.
To not be welcome. Huh. I'll be. Anyway, this Christmas, there was room at the inn, but now time's up. Because the party ended like 2 hours ago. No more peppermint tea. The next thing you get is pepper spray right in the face. So start walking toward that door right now.
Mm-hmm. Oh, boy.
Yeah. Get out. Hit the road. Get lost before I'll call the cops and Merry Christmas.
Whoa.
Something like that.
Wow.
Just slip that in there.
Okay.
I'll be the bad guy.
All right.
We talk about Jesus a lot on the show. Not like there's the trappings of Christianity a lot mm-hmm. of times that we wind up talking about
mm-hmm.
as a group, but we like to focus on who he actually is, because
mm-hmm.
he's the best news ever. But he said something. I had never seen this until last night. I was reading on my, I have a version of the Bible on my Kindle.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to do more Bible reading lately. It comes and goes. But he says that unity is what will show people that we belong to him. But not only that, it's what will draw people to him.
Mm-hmm.
So here's Jesus saying the best way, if you want to convince people that they need God. So let's say you're a believer,
mm-hmm.
that they need God. They want to be drawn to Jesus. It's through unity.
Yeah.
He didn't say anything about doing movies, bumper stickers, t-shirts, even radio stations.
Mm-hmm.
The best way to do things is to be unified. And we just act like it's just an issue, like a side thing.
Right.
Like, well, yeah, but we got these other things. Like, wow, that's amazing. So we look at the world and go, why don't they, like, sometimes we can get frustrated. Why don't they, you know, realize just how true God is? Why don't they turn back to God? And then at the same time, we're fractured into a billion pieces.
Yeah. I mean, because for unity, there has to be a certain selflessness, right?
Yep.
Has to be a certain humility.
And they'd be drawn.
Yeah.
Drawn to that. And not only just the humility, but just the idea that, like we've talked about, like with racial issues, for instance, if the church set an example on, yeah, we've got that one figured out.
Right.
It's about forgiveness. It's about who Jesus is, actually rallying around who he is, even with our different opinions on things or different styles, whatever it is, that would be so amazing. People would be drawn into a community like that. They want to be part of that family.
True.
That's the family I want to be part of. He says that twice, and I never noticed that. This is hard to believe. She does what? She has the audacity?
I don't know if it's audacity, but when she sees something that her husband, this is my friend, she sees something her husband is wearing that she doesn't like. It's too tight. It's out of date. It's just, she doesn't want him wearing that anymore.
Huh.
She doesn't say anything to him. She just lets him wear it. And then when the laundry cycle comes around, those, you know, tight shorts that he probably shouldn't have anymore, that he had,
they're,
you
just
know,
gone.
20 years ago. Yep, they're gone.
This makes me wonder, because sometimes I notice, hey, I used to have that mesh half shirt.
And you're thinking,
where does it go? Where does this stuff go? It's so cool. And yet it's gone. I don't have it anymore.
Mm-hmm. Well, that could be an answer.
That's hard to believe that people actually do that on the sly. But if you have, if you're the one doing laundry, you probably have some creative license.
Yes, you do. And if you see something, and there's no need to get into an argument. This is what my friend said. I don't have to argue with him about it. Hey, stop wearing those shorts. Those are not. I don't have to do that. Laundry comes around.
Come on.
Yep.
Huh. Magical. And it just, you just never notice. Shannon, how's it work in your household?
We kind of take turns. We rotate chores every week, so it just depends on the week.
If somebody in your house has clothing that you don't like, have you ever just kind of made it disappear? You're hesitating.
No, I don't think I've really ever made it disappear. It probably just doesn't get put back in the closet.
Where does it go, Shannon?
Yeah, Shannon? I don't know where it would go.
Shannon, where does it go?
And, you know, my husband's very colorblind, so, you know, a lot of his things have to sometimes be rearranged.
Well, okay.
That's so politically correct.
Let me put it this way. Let me ask another way. I shop at Goodwill a lot. Do you think I'm wearing any of your husband's stuff?
Thanks for listening to the podcast. Follow Brant on Twitter @BrantHanson and on the web @BrantHanson.com.